The adult beverages are poured, the kids are asleep. Welcome to New Dad Gaming, a show about fatherhood, gaming, and new fathers figuring out their gaming lives. My name is Trevor, and I have a almost 3-year-old and a 8-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
So it's good to know that some things never change. And I wonder where he got this from. I wonder where he learned this. But my son pulled out a very classic move, and I wonder if you did it as a kid as well.
Okay.
So he's sitting there, and he kind of crouches so that his knees are kind of up near his chest, and he pulls his shirt over top of his knees, and he's like, and he says, "Daddy, boobies."
Oh yeah. Oh, there you go.
Where did you learn this? Like, did I teach? And my first thought was, did I teach this to you? Because we did that. I definitely did that as a kid.
Yep.
That was hilarious.
It was. And especially when you like bounce them up and down kind of thing. I am surprised this is passed down from generation to generation. I'm proud. These are stories for the ages.
It begs a question. Did he come by it naturally and this is just part of our evolution? Right. Or was it in the playground as a grand tradition?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a big question there.
So first it was hilarity, because it's hilarious that he just came out of the blue with this.
Right.
And then it's curiosity as far as, okay, where did you learn that?
Yeah.
and then you know, it just kind of stuck with me all night, because like, how'd that happen? Is it just naturally coming by it? Is it kids through ages? It was just so fantastic. It caught me so by surprise. I was crying with laughter. It was so good.
And the I guess part of the story is that he's not even in like the school age yet. So he's not JK or anything. He's learned this in the daycare playground.
Yeah, so, near a 3-year-old, and he's already got that down.
Right. Get it out of your system now, kid.
Just made me laugh. And then it kind of leads into the second story I wanted to tell, where classically as a dad, you're laughing when you're supposed to be angry.
Yes, yes.
Something terribly has gone wrong. You're supposed to be administering justice or education to your kid, and instead you're laughing because it's really funny. It's funny, not funny, but it's funny.
Oh, it's funny. And I've had to be the stone cold face while my wife laughs in the background behind my kid's back. So it makes it like extra hard. And then it's my turn to laugh. And then she goes with the follow up to punishment. So you have to tag team that.
So the story that drew this on is my kid is playing in a playground at a restaurant. So classic structure, slide, think McDonald's play place type of situation,
okay,
right?
Yep.
And there's a ball pit. Now, he's playing away at the ball pit, and at some point, there's some kerfuffle. The kids are at odds with each other.
Okay.
And it's him against this other kid. I think he might have been slightly older. But the other kid, in anger, kind of picks up this ball and tries to throw it at him. So, other kid's pissed off, throws it, like, eh. Except this kid sucks at throwing. So, he just throws this air ball. Like, I'm mad.
Right. Yeah.
Goes with my son sees the attempt and just looks at him and takes the ball that he has in his hand, straight shot right in the eye.
Oh God! Oh no!
The kid's head goes back, so he throws.
Wow!
So he's like, "Oh yeah!" Slams him in his eye. Kid cries, gets angry, throws another ball at my kid.
Oh no!
Sails over his head again. My son looks at him. Hits him in the other eye. Like an assassin. One eye after the other. And the kid's head goes back. Now he's doubly crying. He is twice as upset as before.
You can't see anymore.
And again, the sequence. Just both eyes. And immediately I know that this is bad.
Right.
That is terrible behavior. You do not... See, even as I'm trying to tell it to you, I'm cracking.
You can't do it.
It was such perfect comedy. You could not have had better aim directly in both his eyes. And what really made... I mean, if he just walked up to a kid and threw a ball in his eye, that would have been cruel, right? Like, yeah. That's especially mean. But this was...
This was defense?
Yeah, this is like the kid first tried to throw it into him. He's like, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Just cranked him.
I can just see you practicing at night with your son with a life-size dummy of a kid. You'd be like, all right, kid. Like, no, firing range, just go.
Ain't no kid in my family's going to take a ball to the face.
Your day will come. You'll know you're training.
Oh, and it's one of those things where I have some difficulty when he's kind of wrestling around with other kids. I don't want to sit there and try to say he's physically gifted or some nonsense like that. But I've noticed that he seems to be very strong, very grounded, very heavy.
Right.
So generally when he's gone up against other kids, like, he gets the better of it. So when any kids like start to wrestle, it is really daunting for me. Like, it's really nerve-wracking because at any point it's like you're messing with an elephant. Like, this could go bad very quickly. And then to see this, or again, some of his natural athletic ability where he's just throwing beaners like right to the kid's face. Yeah. Well,
the way you explain it too is like the opposite of my kids, because my kids would be the one throwing air balls against another kid. So this makes it super fun, because I could see you just like going in and wrestling away your kid before it gets too far. And, you know, the other parent would probably say, like I would, oh, just let them work it out. And you're like, all right. And you turn around got him in a chokehold or something. You're like, all right, well.
Power bomb off the top ropes.
Sure. Crocodile just grabs his leg and twists. Like,
Man, you had some amazing photos with your kids where they're going through, was it karate or judo?
Oh, yeah, it was karate, yeah.
Yeah. Did they keep up? Because, like, the photos you're posting of that were just priceless.
Yeah, for people that don't know, I posted a picture with my kid in a full karate class, and everybody's sparring with the sensei, my kid's face down, sleeping on the mat. Just, that was the epitome of every class, was just not happening.
You want to come grapple, buddy? You want to physical? Like, no, I'm good.
There's my kid. Down. He's over there. You're sitting with all the other parents on this like wall of shame now. You're just, well, that's it. I don't know that kid. He's not mine.
Yeah, mine's one of the ones doing backflips. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Getting him into some sort of fighting or grappling is definitely one of the considerations, just because with some of his natural strength and just his penchant for wrestling and throwing around, plus I think just the discipline of it ideally would be good. Like that kind of steady learning, and also, of course, just the energy. Like that takes a hell of a lot of energy out of you.
I will say my son has now, he's in Taekwondo, mm-hmm. and he is doing a lot better. And the discipline is I've seen leaps and bounds in his discipline and organization and just respecting people. So I think if you do train your son, you need to train the second to defend. Yeah, right. Equal playing field there. You just
yeah, I can't just put one in. I really need to have both.
Yes, you need to.
Man, that's fascinating. Can you walk us through a bit what happened with your kid in Taekwondo? That sounds really interesting. So you put him in Taekwondo and you saw a noticeable difference?
Yes, and I think it was actually when he was diagnosed with ADHD, the medicine actually helped quite a bit with his focus. So the previous story of him basically on the mat in a karate class, it could have been the makeup of the class and even the martial art itself. Taekwondo seems a little bit more, not involved, but a little bit more active than karate, just from what I've seen, and people could teach it a different way. But he's in an after-school program for an hour and a half every day. So it's an hour lesson and then half an hour kind of free time. And the amount that he's gained levels and belts, he's now going into a yellow belt, which is four or five levels from where he was a year ago. He's made immense progress. Mm. They're always like, the criticism of him is just he wants to teach the class almost. So he will memorize his memory is stone cold. Like, he can memorize the patterns no problem. The kid can do 100 push-ups, like, easily.
Jeez.
He's getting, like, washboard abs. It's just the insane amount of, like, tension strength. Like, he's not a bulky guy, but the mm-hmm. tension strength in him is insane. And I've seen it paid off in the classroom, too. Like, he seems to respect his teacher a little bit. not more, but he just seems to know the authority. And he'll ask questions properly. And I think that Taekwondo has helped quite a bit. Hmm. Just and I would recommend it as an energy burn for sure. We have a little like almost Fitbit for them, so I can see their energy levels through the day, and you can see exactly when Taekwondo hits and every recess. But Taekwondo is like heart rate goes skyrockets, and yeah, total workout, and he should be zonked at the end of the day. I will say that that does not happen if you can hear him in the background. So we're getting there, but definitely recommend. Yeah,
that's like 20 different follow-up questions I have now. Okay, so the, at least two, because so how did you decide on Taekwondo against any of the other martial arts? Because I was I honestly was thinking, what about straight up MMA, given its popularity and its diversity? It has some ignorance there where I think you kind of need to have a specialization, then you go into MMA.
Yeah.
But how did you land on Taekwondo compared to the rest of the arts you could do?
Well, it was basically two factors. It was one, it was available after school. So we were looking at an after school program that could pick them up from school. And one of their, they have like a fleet of buses that come to the school, pick up the kids and take them
back. The school picks him up at school? I'm sorry, the dojo, I'll call it. Yep. Picks him up at his school.
Yeah,
that's so cool. That's so worth it.
Yeah, there's no aftercare in the school besides the YMCA, and the YMCA is really just a supervised gym class. Like, it's free time, so it really wasn't worth the money. We weren't really seeing that there. So this one could pick up the kids, bring them back to the dojo. They have an hour of practice time, or lesson time, and then some free time. And so that was factor one, and then two was actually price. So we're getting aftercare plus a lesson where we were paying for karate as separately. Mm-hmm. And really now it's cheaper to get the aftercare with the Taekwondo class. And it's 3 days a week right now, but we're looking at 5 days a week just so he has that aftercare. And, you know, the extra added bonus of being in a Taekwondo class. So those are the two main ones.
I had no idea that stuff existed. That is so genius. Because we struggle with pickup times, like daycares, the whole nine yards. And the thought that that type of combined thing exists, that is so cool.
Yeah, and they don't shut down unless the school shuts down. So here in Canada, there are some snow days and stuff. And if the school's closed, they'll close. So you have to find the extra care. But otherwise, they come and pick them up and bring them back. And you just have to get there by 6 o'clock at night, which is, it works for most families. I'm usually by 5:15. So
definitely signing up for that one. Now you dropped another bit of tidbit where your kid wears a Fitbit or a Fitbit like device.
Yeah, it's called a VivoFit. Okay. So it's made by Garmin, so it's not exactly a Fitbit, but it's this little kid watch. I think it was like $75, and it's got its own self-contained battery, and it's waterproof, and it goes on with an elastic band. They wear it all day, we usually tell them to, and it records their activeness during the day. So I guess it works on heartbeat and steps. It counts their steps. And then we can set goals for them. So if they meet 60 minutes activity every day, they earn a couple of digital coins. And it comes with its own app. So you link it. And you can see during the day what's going on. If you're close enough to the watch, I guess the watch has to, it's a Bluetooth thing, but you can see how active he was. He earns coins, and then he can redeem the coins within the app for rewards that you set out. So it could be like screen time, you know, 30 minutes screen time, so he can cash in his coins. So him and his brother have it. It's been awesome. It's been great. It almost works kind of like an allowance. Like, they work up to their reward system, and we can change them all in app, no problem. It's not a issue there. And then if they earn the 60 minutes every day, there's a little mini game, and they learn about animals and sort of like, there's this little mini travel system that they have, and they can move a step every day if they earn 60 minutes. So I would totally recommend it. Again, it's like $80 or something, a little on the expensive side for a kid to wear, I will say, but it was a good Christmas gift, and they've been wearing them ever since.
The tracking of the energy is interesting enough, so you kind of get a gauge of it, but the fact that they've gone those extra steps with the coins to actually reward it, like real-life side quests and grinding it out, except in real life, like, that is awesome.
It's a little game. It's a little game, and you can pick your little digital character that appears on your watch. So I think there's like six of them. There's like a little T-Rex or a little shark, and it moves as their steps move. So even that little interactivity, and they can set timers. So there's timers for brushing their teeth, and it'll beep, or 30 minutes when the screen time, it'll beep when it's up. So again, totally recommend it. Garmin VivoFit Junior, about $80, but
yeah,
it doesn't seem
that much. Doesn't seem that much to pay, and yeah, it's an interesting way to include them too, especially if they have a bit of a penchant for gaming, like your two kids do.
Yeah.
Give them the avatar. Give them the reward.
Exactly.
Jeez, I'd look at the expanding that you're doing of my dad horizons. We got Taekwondo that picks up your kids. Yeah. We got magic watches.
I will say the watches come in handy when they've gone over to grandma's house, and grandma said they went to bed early. But I checked the watch. They didn't go to bed until midnight. So. Okay.
Well, that leads it into Big Brother spying territory.
It does. I was just checking up on grandma. Not really checking up on the kids.
Are you really sleeping, kids?
But no, honestly, this watch has been great, especially with my 7-year-old who can go out down the street. I say, set a 30-minute timer, be home for dinner. He goes out with his watch, timer beeps, he comes right home. And then he gets a coin for it. Like, total reward system.
That's amazing. Now, if they can just tie that into Pokemon Go.
Yeah. Oh, I'd be rich in coins.
We're all done.
Yeah.
So we'll transition from coins from a Vivo Kid Fit app to coins in Mario World, very much the theme from our Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. Each week, we find an exemplary gaming dad who is doing fatherhood and gaming so well. This week's Gaming Dad Victory goes to David Hunt, who created an incredible Yoshi zipline for his 3-year-old. Jeff, if you can give us a quick rundown of what we're looking at in the photo.
So in this photo, we have a Yoshi pixel from probably Super Mario World, I think. It looks like Super Mario World. A Yoshi graphic, his son sitting on it on a zipline, like you mentioned. There's something about this Yoshi zipline that makes me want to ride it. It looks so authentic. Like, you could have gone to any store and have this licensed by Nintendo. The kid looks like he's ready to rock. Like,
oh yeah.
What a great idea to just involve gaming and an activity that looks like they want to do.
Getting the kids into the game, but then introducing elements of that into outdoor play. And especially too, like, which 3-year-old is not going to just adore a zip line? Like, if you ever went to camp, the only time I ever really got a zip line as a kid, and I don't know if it's the same for you, Jeff, but I mean, it was at camp. It was at like a theme park, never like of my own, and especially nothing that looked that cool.
No.
So going above and beyond like this to actually build a custom zipline for a kid, and that 3-year-old is in heaven. That is so cool.
And it looks very authentic. It looks awesome. I'm admiring that it just looks pixel perfect, and I think my kids would love to come over and try this thing out. So it's giving me ideas and inspiring me to see if I can bring in more gaming stuff into my kids' activities.
Now, there's a great reason why it is so pixel perfect. Because as if this gaming dad wasn't cool enough in producing a zipline, he is also the author and creator of an incredible RPG game called Forever Home. This game looks just phenomenal. So this is a throwback game to SNES, PS1 style graphics. The user interface and everything else is just absolutely true to form. So this looks like, by and large, just an incredible love letter to any classic RPG you would have played. This dad spent 13 years building this by himself, as well as with the story, the side quest, the art, the music, just an absolute piece of art. The reviews on this on Steam are just through the roof, overwhelmingly positive, and I wanted to actually give... First, I want to read out the introduction to the game, which sounds fantastic. Throughout our lives, the moments we share with others paint bold strokes across a canvas of memories. They define our personality, our existence, and shape our futures. Our greatest desire is to find the moment, that perfect instance, we wish to relive forever. That moment, no matter where you are or what you're feeling, is home. After a series of tragic events, our hero Zero and his best friends are thrown from their home into the middle of a war between nations. A general on one side of the conflict obtains an incredible power and then goes rogue, threatening humanity's very existence. The future of the planet is in danger, and the only way to save it may involve killing your best friend. Damn. Wow. So this game has two new purchasers tonight.
Yeah, for sure.
This is immediately going to be purchased by the new dads. We're going to link it to the post. I highly recommend everybody check it out. But I did want to get one of the comments here. Overwhelmingly positive reviews. My God, this game really brings nostalgia and shows RPGs done right and how it used to be. Good writing, funny humor. Even townsfolks are really alive. I had fun wasting time running around the town talking to every NPC I could find. I can really see it being made with lots of love and care by the dev. Everyone should give it a try. And I think we would agree to that sentiment as well. As I mentioned, we got two new purchases of this tonight. So for going above and beyond with an incredible Mario World Yoshi-inspired zipline for his three-year-old, and for having the passion and the commitment to produce what looks like an incredible game, a piece of art taking 13 years, a hats off to David, and congratulations on winning Gaming Dad Victory of the Week. If you would like to be nominated for Gaming Dad Victory of the Week or know somebody else deserving, please reach out to us on our website at newdadgaming.com.
And as part of New Dad Gaming, each week we go over the week's highlights and what happened in the world of gaming. Get ready to go back to war again. EA has announced Battlefield 5. The official reveal will happen on May 23rd at 4 p.m. Eastern Standard. There are rumors about a Battle Royale mode, because of course. And the only other little detail is that the game could be set back in World War II. With past history of EA and loot boxes, the new dads advise against any pre-orders until this time, until the final game actually drops. And Cliff Bleszinski, the designer behind Gears of War, announced he is officially closing his gaming company, Boss Key. After a tepid release of Lawbreakers and a recently touted Battle Royale game called Radical Heights, it always seemed like Boss Key was one step behind the competition. Cliff has stated that he will take some time off to reflect on what he will do next, but we hope to see his gaming talents return to the industry when he's ready. And the NES Classic Mini is coming back on June 29th. That's right, if you didn't manage to grab one almost 2 years ago, Nintendo has officially announced there's more on the way. Now, what we don't know is if they've improved the console. The original only had one controller and some ridiculously short controller cables, so we have high hopes that they will follow the SNES mini route and give us two controllers with some more cord. Stay tuned, because on June 29th, I'll be grabbing one for myself. And Vita no more. Sony has gone on record to say that all production of physical Vita games will cease by the end of the fiscal year. Now, while this doesn't spell death to the struggling portable, it certainly isn't the greatest news to gamers that have held on hope for a Vita revitalization, and paints a grim picture for ceasing production of the Vita entirely. But there's a small silver lining to this. If you do buy digital, you'll be happy to know that the super addictive farming game Stardew Valley will launch for the Vita at the end of May. So it is cross-buy compatible, and get it while you can, otherwise the Vita may be no more in 2019. And more news for No Man's Sky fans. Xbox artwork has leaked online, and what's depicted in it is very interesting and already stirring up the rumor mill. On the cover is not one, but four astronauts on an alien planet, which seems to imply that there is some sort of synchronous co-op feature to the game. The original did have some patched-in support for 16 players to exist in the same universe, but you might stumble upon each other. This looks more like a team-based game where players are traveling together. We'll know more this week, as the next episode of the Xbox Insider is set to touch on this new version and its new features. As for releases this week, we have Hitman Definitive Edition for all consoles, Dragon Crown Pro for the PS4, Wizard of Legend again for all consoles, and Hyrule Warriors for the Switch. That's it for the gaming news for this week. Catch a nap and tune in next time for another update.
Now, would you actually pick up one of the NES minis? Because you have the SNES mini, if I remember.
I do have the SNES mini, and it's been
okay.
Great.
We'll stop there. When's the last time you played it? Is it a regular gaming feature in your house?
Let's say a couple times a month. So it's not crazy, but I do go back to it, especially for Mario Kart, because I.
Well, it's not building dust though. Like it oh, is no. being twice a month isn't bad.
Twice a month, and I'm almost done Super Metroid, so I've been working my way through that. It's again, it holds a special place in my heart. I still have to go through Final Fantasy II, so or 3. Yeah, I still play it. So the NES, there's some games on there I want. They're not my SNES love, though. So it depends on if it's available. I'm not going to hunt down one. SNES, I was right online, ready to go.
For most of my fixes, like, I do have a NVIDIA Shield.
Oh, yeah,
which which was the crazy handheld version, so not the TV version.
Yep.
And it's Android-based, so it's very much a portable ROM player. Like, so that, for myself, it's kind of covered.
Yeah.
I will say there's something really nice about just the official version where you don't have to worry about it. As easy as ROMs are, it's still just three or four steps. You're not exactly sure what you're getting.
Yeah.
It's work as opposed to plug, press button.
Yeah.
And it's official, so you kind of feel better about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. The Nintendo, I just have a hard time thinking about getting into that. SNES, at least some, there's some really meaty things there and a lot more nostalgia for the childhood. Like the Zelda alone, Link to the Past, that game, for myself, it's almost enough for a system buyer. Because it just was so amazing. And, of course, Final Fantasies. So,
yeah.
Bing, bing, bing. Those look pretty good. I think the real win would be, what would really push me over the edge would be two things. Either an N64 Mini.
Oh, don't.
or a GameCube Mini.
Okay, yes. See, now you have my attention.
Because I think now GameCube Mini's starting to get you're starting to push a little bit far.
Too
but
close,
I think,
right?
I think with the type of stuff that they're cramming into phones and everything else, I think you could get away with it. And maybe it's a little pricier. Maybe like the GameCube Mini is $100, $110.
Yeah.
But even when I say that out loud, it's kind of like,
no, see, like I could get a used console. Well, I could have got a used SNES, but by the time I got a used...
That's with all the games.
Yeah.
Right? The GameCube, and let's say it comes with two controllers.
Yeah.
And with 20 titles.
That's a pretty sweet deal.
And it's tiny, and you can kind of bring it around.
And it's tiny, and it's all there, and it works with HDMI, no problem. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how they're going to do any console after the SNES, just with the N64 controllers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, are they going to make those again? Because I think a lot of people needed that third hand to work it, but I had gotten used to it, so I don't know what people think nowadays.
I was part of a Kickstarter, in fact, for an N64 controller.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and they'd actually reconfigured it a bit. It's generally the same shape.
Okay.
But it's for the N64, and it works with classic systems.
Oh, that's neat.
And this thing was sold out. I bought two because I didn't really I had two decent N64 controllers, two not decent.
Yeah.
And these looked really nice. And this thing sold out. The main point was, if they made the controller and it worked with the old systems and the new systems.
Yeah.
It's almost like people would buy them just for their old systems anyways, if there's enough old systems. I don't know if there is, though.
Well, considering the sales of the SNES, I think we're pegged at 4 million.
Oh, that many?
I think they could just print money and do N64, probably make it a little bit more just because of the cost. Like, I don't know the controller, if it will take more, at least material, to make that thing. Mm-hmm. So even if they pegged it a little higher... I still think there's a rabid fan base that would go after that, no problem. Especially if you had GoldenEye. See, it's going to be a licensing thing where you have the old Rare guys. I'm not sure if they hold a license to that or whatever. GoldenEye, Banjo-Kazooie, Super Mario Kart. Like, there's so many games. Zelda, again. Like, I can see first party, no problem. But third party popularity.
And N64 without GoldenEye or Banjo-Kazooie. Would be very difficult.
It would be, and you need four controllers for GoldenEye. At least that's what I'm expecting.
Would get you excited, yeah.
Or at least ports for the other controllers or something. I don't know.
You know, but if it comes with one and you have to buy three extra... I think I'm in the camp of, I hope they do it. Honestly, I'm a bit more excited to see it for the GameCube, because that's really a system I kind of just glossed over. Didn't really get to play any of those games. Especially the Zelda for the GameCube, never got into that one.
No, I never had a GameCube, so I kind of look back on that as, because I transitioned into PlayStation. So that was the console that I had.
Had an awkward teenager phase.
Yeah. I lost all of it. So yeah, I'm with you. I've never played like Mario Sunshine and Metroid Prime. I've never played.
Oh yeah.
All that stuff that's kind of sitting there.
No Man's Sky. Let's... It's the weekly No Man's Sky.
Are you ready to go back?
Oh, I'm always back together. Back. I've never left. What are you talking about? Still fire that up from time to time. If it actually became multiplayer focused, Because the poster is great because it's four people, four ships, color coordinated.
Yeah.
And it just really gives you the sense that, okay, this is now a multiplayer game. So, terrible speculation. What if it's Xbox only as far as like the multiplayer?
I'm not sure they would pull that,
but Microsoft really needs a win.
They do need to win. I'm not sure if that's the game to win on, but I think the studio itself cannot take any more bad press from its fan base. Mm. Like, that would be a huge issue to me that they wouldn't patch that in, even if it was like, we'll beta test it on the Xbox and then bring it over to PlayStation.
Yeah, but people the place would burn down.
Like, oh yeah,
and if you followed the Reddits or anything else, like
exactly, and it's available for PC as well. So like, mm-hmm. are you gonna burn all those bridges at once from the people that actually bought the game after you improved it? Me being one of them, so I would feel kind of slighted against something like that. Now, they touted some big news over the summer, so I'm not sure this is it. I'm wondering if they still have VR in the pipe, because that would be sweet.
Oh, that'd be so good. That'd be done. I could retire from gaming. I got my VR set. I got No Man's Sky blasting away. I don't need to ever buy another thing.
Because co-op's nice, but I thought the big reveal would have been VR. So maybe we're still hoping for something.
The way that Next is laying out and the way this internet sleuths, which I sometimes wonder if it's more projection of what they want as opposed to true detective work, but everything really seems to be lining up to VR and one can only hope.
Yeah.
But if anything else, it's just kind of great to see them still in the mix. The game to see this game that was so ambitious kind of launched as a bit of a dud, reception-wise, again, not to myself, but comes around a bit of redemption with releases, and now they're still making news. Like, they could have, I think, with the last update, kind of washed their hands of it, and they've delivered on what they said they would, but it's still in. Like, it's so great this time in day and age to see games continuing and starting to live out their big promises.
Yeah, I agree. Again, it probably took them a year to get there, so I think they launched maybe a little bit early with their release, kind of, you know, a little bit it faltered with what they promised and what they delivered. But again, they stuck with it. Like you said, they could have just cut and ran. They did go dark for a while, but then came back and started gaining a bit more of a foundation, because again, like, even I jumped on board with that huge patch that went out, and it's a fun game now. So it's what a PR spin. Like, they just somehow did a 180 and are going towards positive. So I can only hope this next little bit is just as positive and it doesn't just break everything or become exclusive only to Xbox and not the other systems. So again, we'll leave it up to them. I know you're excited. Like, they jump back in. So
you got to shoot for the stars, you know?
That's right.
But with that positive note, we will end it off for this week. Thank you so much for listening. This has been New Dad Gaming. A reminder that we are still running our competition. This competition will be running until June 12th, and this is in celebration of reaching 100 episodes. We're giving away four games, either games that we've loved greatly as dads or that, in fact, some featured dads. We'd love for you to enter. Just hop over to our website at New Dad Gaming. You'll see the link on the right side, and please go ahead and subscribe and enter the contest. If you'd like to listen to the podcast, you can find it on iTunes or Google Play and most other podcasting services. As I mentioned, the website is newdadgaming.com. Reach out to us with show notes, questions, ideas, anything else. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love a subscription, a rating, and especially a share with another dad who games. Until next week, my name is Trevor, and I have an almost 3-year-old and an 8-month-old.
And I'm Jeff. I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old.
All right, we'll see you next week.
See ya.